The conference is now being recorded.
Good morning, and I would like to welcome everyone to the Jupiter Mines Q4 call. Today, we have Jupiter Acting Chief Executive Officer, Scott Winter, and Independent Non-Executive Director, Ian Murray, to provide a brief update on the last quarter of the 2022 financial year. Then we will open up to questions from callers. Please go ahead, Scott.
Thanks, Erica. Much appreciated. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Jupiter Mines Q4 results. End of year for us, so we'll talk through some of the end-of-year performance as well. But before I go on, I suppose I want to introduce Ian Murray. First investor call for Jupiter Mines. Certainly not a stranger to investor calls in the Australian Stock Exchange, but certainly the first one for us. Ian, maybe I'll hand over to you to say good day.
Thanks, Scott. It's a pleasure to be on here, and especially after we visited the project a few weeks ago. I look forward to answering questions later in the session.
Thanks, Ian. Much appreciated. Look, as Ian said, we'll just gonna take you through some highlights through the business, a little bit about the visit that Ian mentioned into the Kalahari very recently. Take you through some of the highlights as we saw it, and then run into some of the detail around safety, environment, production and processing, logistics, run through some of the cost and obviously some of the marketing. At the end, we'll run over some of the corporate bits and pieces that we can walk through, and Ian can make some comments through there as well. At the end of that, we'll have some questions. Send them through or get them ready and welcome all of those. I want to start with the trip. At the start of March, the board, Pat Murphy and myself, went across to South Africa. We spent a week seeing the Jupiter team and major shareholders incidentally in both Johannesburg and then out on site. It was a terrific visit. The Kalahari is supposed to be a desert, but I tell you, it certainly wasn't. Very green when we went over there. It even rained while we were there, and some of the locals were telling us that some of the tributaries hadn't flowed in 50 years, but they had just recently. We saw a very different Kalahari and certainly Tshipi to what we'd been used to in the past. Look, really impressed with the visit. You know, one of the things we look forward is, you know, meeting the team and the partners, and really they were all very across the detail, knew the main areas of focus, knew their pit, knew the numbers, and really could talk about what they were focusing on in the, you know, in the short and medium term. The site looked, well, it looked wet actually. It was raining when we were out there, but, you know, some of the diggers were still operating, moving some of the Kalahari sand, so that was pretty good. Certainly it had been affected by rain and, you know, we've made mention in the past around rain affecting some of the production. We could see the, you know, the reality that that had actually occurred. You know, it was a good trip. The pit looked pretty sharp. You know, one of the things that stood out from our visit was the barrier pillar was very much there, available, full of graded ore. Mamatwan is just there, but, you know, that graded ore, that 1.4 million tons sits there and is available for us in sprint capacity and, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later. I suppose on ground we saw, you know, we saw some opportunity there as well. You know, we're always looking for where we can pull some operating costs out. I think with, you know, some investigation, a little bit of capital into the operation, we can look at some of the material handling that is there on site and see some operating cost improvement over time. You know, it's a long life, low cost asset, so it does lend itself for putting sort of money into infrastructure on site. I suppose another standout was the train loader. We actually saw a train get loaded, which was terrific. You know, it is a significant asset for that mine and Transnet know that and Tshipi benefits from that. It's a fast train loader. It loads a train in about 2 hours. You know, Transnet, when they've got wagons that are loose and, you know, other companies can't pick them up, then they give Tshipi a call and we pick up extra trains, which is terrific for us. That was a real benefit. I suppose we also took a ride up the Kalahari itself up the belt, and dropped in at Macala, had a look at that new operation that was pretty sharp, and then took sort of an idle through up to Vessels. Didn't go underground, but just had a look at some of the lay of the land and where those operations were in the vicinity to Chippy. You know, it is a very sort of condensed area and a lot of support infrastructure around to really make that a central manganese area for the world, really. So it was a great visit. Got to meet the face-to-face, the team and the Incibility team as well. We have great partners over there and really look forward to working with them in the future as well. But any other comments on the trip, Ian, that you want to pull out?
No, I think it's very professional meeting the team at Chippy. They certainly know what they're doing. They've been doing it for about 10 years now. Comments just on that, the efficiency of loading the trains relative to our peers, it's a real standout.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate that. So look, I'll just touch on some overall highlight comments that we'll go into a little bit detail, but I'll just touch on these briefly. So for the year, 3.3 million tonnes sold and about 3.7 million produced, slightly down on sold from last year, 3.4, but 3.7 greater than 3.4 produced last year. So it was a good production year. EBITDA was obviously down largely on the back of manganese price being down. So EBITDA this year of 140 and an NPAT of 86 compared to last year of 206 and 135 respectively. Great safety year point. So no LTIs for the year, and the TRIFR is slightly coming down. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. From a mining perspective, the graded ore was on target, slightly down on Q3 last year, but going well. The waste movement was down, but largely as a result of sort of moving rehandle, it just doesn't get counted in the in-situ volumes. But again, I'll talk about that in a minute. I mentioned the barrier pillar exposure of 1.4 million tonnes, which is a really terrific asset sitting there available for opportunity. High-grade production through the plant exceeded target for the year and for the quarter, so happy with that. But I suppose the standout and, well, I suppose the issue to manage is on-land logistics. We're seeing certainly some issues with the rail network running at about 90% capacity, and certainly that's being made, those volumes are being made up with trucking capacity. Again, we can go into some details why. We have a $75 million attributable cash balance at the end of the quarter, and largely supported by the dividend that Chippy distributed of about 500 million rand. So they're the highlights. I'll go into some detail now. Certainly starting with safety and the environment. Really impressed with the focus they had on safety. That they have no LTIs, but as we know, really the focus then becomes down onto some of those lesser grade injuries, and TRIFR is a focus for them. They see that improvement coming through addressing the culture on site, so they've run a new program, My Safety, My Family, My Community. Terrific program. It is starting to show some improvements with the TRIFR slightly coming down. They've got it's crept up over the last 12 months, so they know that they've got some work to be done there, and that program will be a great benefit to that. From an environmental perspective, two things wanted to pull out, and that is work on the biodiversity programs they're doing, securing land to put some of those biodiversity programs in the offset lands. That's progressing to plan and will continue. The main work stream in the environmental management plan is the amendments that they're working through with EMP3, which is regarding the closure commitments for Chippy, which is at 100 years. So it's one of those things that will continue to be worked on, but certainly in the very short term, there's some changes being made that are going through the department at the moment. That is a sort of focus of everyone, both in Jupiter and the Chippy team as well. Moving on to mining and production. Look, we're focusing largely on sort of graded ore. We exceeded the target with slightly, behind on overall movement for for the period. That is, I suppose, affected by some of the rain that we saw in January, February, and some of the performance that was coming out of Moorman's with some of the efficiency on the excavators. It has affected them, which is why, and I'll talk a little bit later about why we're talking about Moorman's with their contract and the introduction of some new equipment later in the piece, probably at the later part of this year. We do see some improvement with the efficiency program running out across the site. So we did see a volume improvement in Q4 over Q3, which is terrific. One of the other areas that we have been focusing on, and I come back to that point around rehandle, is the barrier pillar and the associated ramps in and around that barrier pillar. So we have exposed, by removing all the waste, we have exposed this 1.4 million tonnes of graded ore. And in doing so, we've had to move one of the crossbridge ramps, which is about 300,000 cubic metres of waste and doesn't get captured. So overall waste movement was actually better than reported, but it doesn't get reported as in situ. So I'm sort of happy with how that is going. I want to make a particular point here, which is we've got a really, I suppose, an opportunity in that 1.4 million tonne of ore, but we're not planning in our medium-term plan to, I suppose, high-grade that, so to speak. We are planning to mine on a life-of-mine strip ratio, so our cost profile will remain sort of constant, as we expect, and we address, so I suppose, capture graded ore as the market presents opportunities. As the price rises, we can quickly get to graded ore and put it into market. So that's sitting there as a terrific asset for us. Processing of high grade ore was on target, actually ended up slightly ahead of target for the year. We took a deliberate decision to suspend the low grade tons, largely on the back of manganese price being lower than expected, and it really doesn't pay dividends for us to consume trucking capacity to put low grade into the market. So obviously flicked some of the trucking across the hauling high grade to port. With some of the mining of the barrier pillar ore has a slightly higher fines content. So we did see a slightly higher fines content in the quarter, but overall for the year we're on target around 15%, so that's fine. Moving on to logistics, I can't come back to that point again. The rail is being hampered by maintenance delays, power outages, and some of the cable theft, derailments. Transnet's very aware of it. They are putting things in place to address some of those, but it's certainly not showing immediate signs of improving. The capacity is around 90% of what is expected, and as I meant before, we are consuming some of the trucking capacity that we've used for low grade. We're putting that into hauling some of the high grade. As an example, we moved on land about 750,000 this year, and the on-land logistics was sort of split evenly with almost evenly with trucking and rail through the month. The I suppose the Chippy team continues to be a leader in innovative logistics solutions. They really do pride themselves on trying to come up with new solutions around logistics. So the Shiptainers was a classic example of that in the past. So they are looking for this next financial year and beyond to look at logistics solutions to pick up where Transnet's failings are being created. Happy with the overall shipping for the year. We shipped 3.3 for the year. We had actually two vessels that sort of fell over into March that were booked into the February, so it would have been slightly higher than that should that have occurred, but it just fell over. Moving a little bit on to costs, if I look at holistically costs for the business, you know, we were down on revenue obviously as a result of manganese price, but the overall FOB costing was actually quite good. Apart from, I suppose, the fact that trucking is slightly higher than rail, the FOB cost was great. So if you look at it on a DMTU basis, this quarter was even lower than last. We sort of had $1.60 US tonne. US dollars for DMTU compared to $1.75 last quarter. The year ended up at about $1.86 US dollars per DMTU, which is 15% below the plan that we had. So that's terrific. On a SIF basis, obviously, that's a different story because of the freight rate pushing up, you know, way in excess of where we thought. And it's even now starting to be quite volatile. We did see prices in the last quarter up to $60. It's sort of come down to around the 52, 55 mark, but it is volatile, and we're sort of expecting it to be volatile into the near future. From an overall year perspective, just to give you some numbers, you know, our SIF price, high-grade lump, was about 460 in the market. Fines, obviously, sort of around 410. Low-grade is even lower than that, and fines is sort of about 380. So our overall price revenue for the year on an average basis is about 430, which puts our margin in the range of about 80 cents US dollars per DMTU, just to give you some rough numbers. A little bit on the market before we get onto corporate. Look, the market, I suppose, in the last quarter was sort of relatively stable, but it was low, and only at the end of February we started to see an uptick, and obviously into March we've seen a significant uptick. The reason for that is largely around, you know, we're post-Chinese Spring Festival and New Year. The alloy plants are looking to restock, and both Australia, Brazil and Gabon have come out and indicated that their production levels for the year are going to be lower. So that's sort of driven up the 44% manganese price. Semi-carbon at 37 cent has jumped on the tail of that and has obviously seen a rise along, you know, lagged sort of 1 or 2 weeks, but it's driven up. There was a little correction over the last week, so, you know, came off the 570. There wasn't a lot of liquidity in the market at 570, but there were cargoes sold, obviously. But we're seeing it sort of coming back this sort of at the moment around back to 540. And, you know, we expect this to remain for a while. We actually expect this year to sort of sit north of $5, which is good. And that's largely off the back of China. They've expected their steel production to not go below what they had last year. But the rest of the world steel production is actually forecasting a growth, which is good. The alloy plants start to see growth, not only sort of in China, but in the rest of the world. We're seeing a sort of a fairly significant increase in Asia, and particularly India is sort of starting to take more cargoes, and we're certainly trying to put more cargoes into, you know, diversified markets other than China, which will help in the long run. So we do have a, you know, a positive outlook for the manganese price. We do have a positive outlook for, you know, our cost profile going next year. So, you know, again, we're sort of looking, I suppose, happy for what we're expecting next year, and the budgets at the moment are, you know, just getting finalised with the medium term plans, and, you know, we should be able to give some indication soon. Look, from a corporate perspective, just quickly, I might hand over to Ian shortly to talk about some of the things we're doing in corporate. But from an overall EBITDA, I mentioned before, 140 million, NPAT 86, compared to last year's 206, 135. EBITDA for the quarter is up against last quarter, so EBITDA 44, NPAT of 28, which is good, you know, largely because of low cost, actually, and production levels. We received the $500 million dividend, RAND dividend from Chippy, and in the last quarter our cash went from 17 to 39, and overall we have an attributable cash of $75 million. I was going to mention the Millman's contract discussion, but I mentioned that before, and the budget I just recently mentioned was certainly something we're finalising at the moment. And really looking, because of the prices, around that 540, a little higher than what we expected when we sort of started putting it together last year. But it's we're looking at what opportunities we can place in the market in the very short term. Ian, I might hand over to you to potentially talk about some of the appointments in the near future and engagements around strategy, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. So the next key thing that the board's focused on delivering is the appointment of the CEO. We are well down the track of that. There are very good candidates, both internally and externally, that we busy going through the next phase of interviews with. And we are aiming to have that wrapped up in the upcoming quarter. The thing that flows from that is then the corporate strategy. There's no point coming up with a strategy before we appoint the CEO. So focus on the CEO first, and then coming to the market of what the corporate strategy is. But it was pretty clear to see from the visit that we did to the Kalahari Basin that there are a number of assets in that region that are close together that make sense for some form of consolidation, and certainly Jupiter wants to be a participant in that strategy and in that process. So that's stuff that we're aiming to deliver in the next quarter. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate that. So that's largely where we are, I suppose, to make comment around the strategy work that we're looking at the moment. We, as you know, appointed Treadstone to help as a corporate advisor to sort of do the strategic review and help with the growth strategy. And, you know, in respect of that, looking at some other advisors and support for the work that is really up and coming. So that concludes really the detail across the quarterly, really open then now for questions. Happy to answer any of that you might have, but really thanks for jumping on board and I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Scott. The question and answer session has now commenced. Guests are invited to ask a question by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad now. You will hear a tone as you're joined to the queue. Please listen for your name and I will introduce you through to the call. That's star 1 on your telephone keypad now if you would like to ask a question. Just a reminder, if anybody wants to take this opportunity to ask a question, star 1 on your telephone keypad now. We don't appear to have any questions coming in at this time, Scott. Would you like to hand back to yourself or keep it open for a little bit longer?
Oh, we can keep it open for another little bit. Always happy to do so, that's for sure.
We have had a question come in, just one moment. We have a question from Michael Scanterbury from Euros Hartleys. Please go ahead, Michael.
Okay, Scott, thanks for the call. Just a quick one around going potentially downstream in the manganese space. Would you consider this what kind of value chain would you kind of look to exploit in going in that kind of direction, or would you look to consolidate upstream first in that kind of area? Thanks, Matt.
Well, thanks, Michael. And thanks for jumping on board too. Look, as Ian said before, you know, one of the first things we're looking at is obviously the strategy and what does that mean for Jupiter and what can we do. The most obvious thing is. And mentioned is the consolidation piece. You know, manganese, we are currently a manganese for steel products, you know, producer. But certainly in the strategy discussions we've had so far, you know, manganese not only is, you know, a key product in steel, but it's actually a key product in, you know, the battery space as well. So we are looking, we're looking and investigating and educating ourselves on what we can do down the track. You know, there's an ordering that we would like to step forward with in regard to the growth, and that's largely going to be consolidation of, you know, manganese within ourselves and some of those opportunities around Chippy, but downstream processing, you know, high-grade manganese purification is definitely something we're learning about, trying to learn more about, and is a future opportunity for sure.
Thank you, Michael. We don't appear to have any more questions coming through at this time, Scott. Would you like to end the Q&A now?
Yeah, I think so. I think hopefully everyone has got a really good perspective on the quarter and some of the end of year results, and certainly we're having another call in the near future. So I'm sure questions will come at that point as well. But really appreciate everyone jumping on board and listening to the quarter, and look forward to talking to you next time.
Thank you. That now concludes today's call. Thank you so much for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Erica.